Have you ever found yourself in an impossible situation with no clear way out? I found myself in what I thought was a life and death situation when I was about 7 years old. My parents decided to take us away for a weekend to a friend's farm in Warm Bars. It's now called Bella Bella. And upon arrival at the gate, there was an extremely large, seemingly friendly, but very powerful German Shepherd waiting. Now, to give you a bit of context, I grew up with really big dogs. From yay high, we had Great Danes. I can remember actually horse riding my favorite Great Dane when I was little. Not really good for their backs, but Maggie loved me dearly. I even hid behind her whenever I was due for a good old-fashioned hiding. So I grew up with big dogs. And I love big dogs. But this German Shepherd seemed to despise children. And so for most of the weekend, I was attached to my parents' hip one way or another. And on the Friday nights, my brother and I slept in our own room. But on Saturday, about lunchtime, my parents invited some more friends over to this weekend away. And then, of course, kids get kicked out of the bedroom and parents get the bedroom. And I fell asleep, and my parents just put me on the couch outside of their bedroom door, sleeping. About 2 o'clock in the morning, I wake up to this wonderful German Shepherd growling over my left shoulder. I was certainly in a life and death situation for a seven-year-old. I dare not move because every time I did, the growling just increased. And as you can hear, I remember the story like it happened yesterday. And luckily for me, the uncle, the owner of the dog, woke up at about 2 a.m. to go to the kitchen for a glass of water. And as he comes walking down the passage, here he sees his favorite German Shepherd giving me the death stare of my life. And he rushed down the passage and chased out the German Shepherd. And this was my moment. The divine intervention that I prayed for took place right in front of my eyes. And I bolted into my parents' bedroom, locked the door behind me, and for the rest of the weekend, it didn't matter where they went and where I went, the parents had to go along with me at all times. Now, your situation might not be as extreme as that. But it's really our prayer and hope today that as we unpack God's word together, that if you find yourself in a life and death situation, that you would indeed make a God-honoring decision in that moment. And so would you please turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 13. And as you make your way there, I would like to just remind us a bit about the context behind today's reading. The Israelites were welcomed into Egypt by Pharaoh, when Jacob and Israel effectively faced their first life-threatening moment during a great famine. And they happily lived in Egypt 400 years. And so now there's a new Pharaoh on the block. And he's realized that the Israelite nation has grown into a mighty nation. And he's become quite intimidated by this. And so he decides to brutally force Israel into slavery. And when you read through chapter 13, or the first 13 chapters of Exodus, you'll notice a few things. The Israelites were quite strong in terms of their natural strength and had extremely good skill sets. And so obviously, Pharaoh, seeing their strength and their skill sets, thought, this is a great business opportunity. If I can force these guys into working for me, I could just build my entire empire. And so that's exactly what happened. But Pharaoh didn't just use this as an extremely good business model, but he also used this as a brutal violation of basic human rights and dignity. And he became known as the most brutal slave driver of their time, and even the most evil man, because he did everything in his power to render Israel absolutely useless. He killed babies. Now, some of us are parents here. He was such an evil man that he killed the children of the parents. Now, most parents wake up in the morning, you go to work, and you're going to give it all you've got for the sake of your kids. This man was that evil, he took the kids away. Incredibly brutal. That was their working conditions and their living conditions. You got up day in and day out in that kind of environment. So we pick it up from verse 17 of chapter 13. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them through the road of the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt ready for battle. Now, prior to this, God had just done incredible things right in front of their very eyes. Incredible miracles, and kind of pressured Pharaoh into this moment. He was like, you know what, that's it. I can't take these guys anymore. Their God is going to wreck my life. Just go. Leave. Leave my kingdom and my empire. Now, I want us just to pause here for a brief moment and try and understand exactly what the Israelites went through on a day-to-day basis. For most of them, they were required to wake up in the most ungodly hour with very little or nothing to eat in their homes or in their tents. No shower, no luxuries, just the clothes they were given and possibly a bottle of water. Then they were chained to one of their colleagues and forced to work in the most inhumane conditions ever. The hottest climate known to man. I don't know many of you who would be willing in the middle of February in Durban on a 40 degree day, 100% humidity, where you're keen to go outside and work in the garden. Anybody, even the first service, like, you're cooked, man. Like, why on earth would you do that? We did that once in the first year when we got here, and never again. She's like, it's nice and warm outside. No. But this was their conditions, and even more humid and just uncomfortable than that. They had to do that every single day. But not just chained and in hot conditions. Wherever you were working, you knew that there was somebody watching with a whip in his hand. And if you didn't dig fast enough or cut bricks fast enough or move the brick fast enough and meet your targets for the day, you got whipped into line. Go faster and faster and faster. Not only are you hungry, not only is it hot and you are probably dehydrated, you have somebody inspiring you to work faster and faster. And that was your life every day, all day, until your very last day. And even when you dropped and you passed out, they would wake you up with a whip to get you back working again. Brutal conditions. Then God intervenes in the most incredible way, and you let go. You're allowed to walk free, and you could just imagine some of the Israelites, and maybe not many of them, I think very, very few of them, would walk past the Egyptian slave drivers and kind of smile and wave at them. Goodbye. See you around. You know, some of them, if you were me, would be a bit more like, haha, guess who's walking away right now? You know, be a bit more cheeky. But for most of them, they were so beaten, so broken, they just wanted to get out of there. And then God, knowing exactly how fragile they were emotionally, spiritually, and physically, didn't take them on the shortest route to the promised land. He took them on a detour. And most of us would go, why on earth would you do that? Just get me to safety quickly, right now. But God knew how fragile they were, and that's why it said that in verse 17. I'm going to take you on a detour. Because if we go on the shortest route and you engage with an army right now, you might just not have enough power in you to stand firm, and you might just turn back to Egypt. And so let's go on this journey together, and we're going on a bit of a detour. And in that detour, God replenishes them and looks after them incredibly. Like in the mid-February heat, God brings up this really nice cloud right above them with a gentle breeze cooling them down and helping them along the way through the desert. And at night, he puts a cloud of fire, a pillar of fire to light up so that they don't bump their toe against the rock. Incredible how God looked after them, gave them something to eat and drink along the way, helping them to nourish themselves, but maybe even just restore themselves emotionally and spiritually. That's the kind of God that we serve. Now, I'm not sure whether I've just explained your life right now, whether you find yourself just like the Israelites, working for somebody or in a situation where it just feels like there's nowhere out. If that's you, know this, that God knows exactly where you are right now. Or you could just be enjoying life. You're just on the journey. No serious pressures. You're not a slave driver or a slave of anybody. You're just enjoying life right now. God knows exactly where you're at. Or you could just be struggling emotionally on the inside. God wants to journey with every single one of us, just like he did with the Israelites that day. And so that's the challenge for us today, is to lean into our relationship with God like never before, regardless of where we find ourselves. Because God might just call you, just like he did with Joseph in a couple of chapters earlier in Genesis, where he calls you to go and stay exactly where you are and work for the Egyptian government and transform lives while you're at it. Instead of quitting, you become a catalyst of change within your own context. Or God might call you to be just like Moses and stand up against the pharaohs of this world and speak his truth and his word into their lives. And here it must be said, in our generation, there are a lot of opinions out there, but very few opinions are biblically based and founded. And so if you find yourself called by God to speak up for those who don't have a voice or cannot speak up for themselves, friends, may you be challenged to use God's word to do the talking and his word alone. Because just like Moses, if you're going to go and stand up against evils of this world and you're going to lean on anything else but God's word, your attempts will fail. The only reason why Moses succeeded was because of the hand of God and the word of God that was given to him. So do not think that you and I can stand up to the evils of this world without God's backing and his help along the way. But you also might find yourself just like the rest of the people in the story today, where you were so beaten and so mocked and so scorned and so tired that all you need right now is for somebody to lead you into a new way of life filled with faith, hope, love, peace, and joy. And if that's you today, may you pray like the Israelites prayed, Lord, give us a leader that will lead us into the way of everlasting life, and avail yourself to follow like they did. But I also find it quite interesting that in the story were Egyptian soldiers standing behind the roadside, beside the roadside, watching thousands of Israelites walking on their way to freedom. I wonder how many of them stood there going, oh, I wish I could join these guys. Because just imagine where they're standing right now. You've got a lot of dead frogs and locusts and flies all over the place. City stinks. And here goes thousands of people that are supposed to probably be cleaning it up, walking. I think some of the Egyptian soldiers were like, I think I need a wardrobe change quickly so I can join this parade out of town. But unfortunately, in their context, that was not allowed. If you were an Egyptian soldier and you joined the Israelites, the only way you would join the Israelites was without life. They would just chop your head off and carry this oak out. He's not part of the Egyptian army anymore. Luckily for us, that doesn't happen anymore today. However, you might find yourself in any of these scenarios. You might find yourself called by God to go and be the change in a very corrupt, brutal, and inhumane condition. You might find yourself called by God to be the Moses and speak truth against the evil in this world. Or you're an Israelite and you just need to be led to the feet of Jesus again. led into a space of love and peace and hope and joy. Hopefully, for most of us, we're not part of the Egyptians. We're standing by the wayside, watching the people of God walking closer and closer to Him, being led by Him. But you might know of Egyptians that curse upon God's people, that diss and mock God's people. May you be inspired, just like the Israelites, to pray for the Egyptians in this world. Pray for them to see the hand of God right before their very eyes and take the bold step of faith in following the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Regardless of who you are today, my hope and my prayer is that each and every single one of us would lean into our relationship with God like never before. So that whether you find yourself in the dry and weary land, or whether you find yourself in the promised land of land flowing with milk and honey, regardless of where you are, may you be drawn into a deep and intimate relationship with God, because He wants to journey with you all of the way, so that you too can stand firm in your faith, even in the midst of the most ungodly situation. God always wants to work with us and in us, but He's going to do it on His terms and not ours. And that's what was very clear in the text today. He didn't take the Israelites on the shortest route to the promised land. He took them on a detour specifically to restore them, get them ready for His next miracle at the edge of the Red Sea. And that's where we pick up God's word again in Exodus chapter 14, verse 10 to 14. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us out to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Now here we must cut the Israelites some slack. They've just been called out of the most inhumane and ungodly working conditions and livelihoods. And God's journeyed with them through the desert. They're now standing right in front of the Red Sea. They can't cross the Red Sea unless they're Olympic swimmers. And in the distance, they hear the armies of Pharaoh on their way. They find themselves in an impossible situation where death stares right in their faces on both ends. Completely helpless situation. I can just imagine some of them going, "Moses, you've lost it. You're absolutely cooked. We're walking back to the Egyptians and apologizing to them and saying, 'Okay, let's go. We're going to dig some more holes for your bricks. Let's go.'" And you can hear them chirping Moses a little. And I think many of us would do the same thing. If somebody's led us into an impossible situation, we're going to chirp the leader and going, "What have you done?" Like we're looking at a German shepherd right now that wants to eat us in pieces. I'm like, "Dad, like, what have you done? Why did you put me down on this couch of all couches? Why couldn't I just like sleep on the floor next to your bed?" So some of us, if not most of us, would chirp a leader if the leader led us into a similar situation. But then verse 13, Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again." Then verse 14, something I would like us to hold on to firmly today. "The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Right now, if you find yourself at the very edge of the Red Sea with Egyptians storming at you from behind, and all that you see in front of you is death, Know this, friends, that the Lord is fighting for you. All you need to do in this moment is be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I am the God that's just done incredible miracles right in front of your face. Yes, I am the God that led you via the desert to replenish your soul and give you strength once again for an incredible miracle I'm about to do right in front of you. And so if you find yourself on the edge, do not complain. Do not fear. For the Lord is with you in this moment. Yes, you have no idea what's coming. You don't know how you're going to get across your Red Sea right now. But please, friends, do not turn and go back to Egypt. Do not turn your back on God in the middle of your storm, on the edge of your Red Sea. Be still and know that He is with you in this moment. And just like He did for them, He will do incredible things in and through your life if you entrust it to Him in this moment right now. The question for us today is this. Will we trust God to meet our needs in His own time, in His own way, even when we're standing at the edge of our own Red Sea? Because even in this generation, just one leap of faith could set an entire nation on course to true salvation. Just like in Moses' time, it required one leap of faith to touch the water and part the Red Sea. I can just imagine the kids bolting on dry ground, poking a whale, grabbing a fish's tail, and running. And the parents all going, "Hang on, we're coming." And the Egyptians chasing after them. It required one leap of faith for an entire nation to receive salvation. Will you allow God to use you in the same way today in this generation, at the edge of your Red Sea, so that another generation could see salvation? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, You are fully aware of every single person in the room right now and even those watching it online from home. You know what every single one of us are going through right now. We ask, Lord, that You would take us on the same journey as You've taken the Israelites, that You would do the same miracles in our lives as You did in theirs. And where for some of us, we find ourselves living in the most ungodly conditions. We ask that You would do the same in our lives as You did in theirs. Be the way maker, the miracle worker, Lord. And even if You call us to remain exactly where we are, we ask that You would give us the strength and courage to either be the change that we want to see or to speak up against the injustice in this world. Regardless of where you find yourself right now, know that God is with you. He will journey with you. And He will take you into life and everlasting life if you entrust your life and your situation into His hands. And it's our prayer and hope that You would do so with courage, knowing that Your one leap of faith right now, You surrendering Your life into the hands of God right now, could just be the one thing required to lead an entire nation into everlasting life. And so God, we ask that You would guide all of us, regardless of who we are, regardless of where we are in life, whether it's at the foot of the Red Sea or in the Promised Land. We ask for Your guidance every step of the way, and that You would remind us that You are with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen. Have a great week.